Okay. As we said, you can stop me while I read if there is a question, because otherwise we will go further and then we might not come back to this point. Okay. So, our Lord Jesus Christ, Saint Isidro says, he is not just a role model for us, but he recalls our old dead body. What does this mean? This means that once we have sinned and we all had a life that maybe it was not according to our conscience. And Jesus is not just a role model, but he has the power to resurrect us from that. So he inspires us inside us, and he gives us the love that we need to get out of sin, to get out of our dead body, and to be resurrected from this life, and to move on, leaving the past behind. But we need to be aware that Christ, for example, as soon as he got baptized, we know the story, St. John the Forerunner baptized Christ. As soon as he got out, he went to the desert, he was fasting, he was praying, and he had attacks from the devil. As soon as he started fasting, he had the attacks. Why? Because he was fighting spiritually, and then the devil was fighting him back. But regardless if this is the case, our whole life has to be a continuous fasting. And when we say fasting, it doesn't necessarily mean just food. And for some people, it can mean food, because everybody has different needs to be healthy. But fasting has more the meaning of vigilance, and even further than that, that we reject something that we want to give the priority to God and to the other people around us. But as soon as the devil realized that Christ was fasting, he attacked him. So the devil, he was a spirit. He is still a spirit. But he was the greatest, Lucifer, he was the greatest archangel. Lucifer, Eosphoros, means the one who brings the light. So he was the brightest out of all the angels. And then he fell, and then his capacity of understanding things was not as sharp anymore. So his way of knowing what is going to happen is not the same. And we have to be aware of that. It's the same way that when someone puts on weight, he cannot walk quickly. The same thing happened exactly with the angels, that they fell and they became demons. This is why when Jesus was incarnated, when the second person of the Holy Trinity became human, the devil didn't realize what happened. He couldn't understand what happened, because his ability of understanding was not as it was when he was an angel. And that's why he tried to kill Christ, thinking that this was the end of a person, a human being, who was trying to help the humanity. He couldn't comprehend that the Son of God would be incarnate from the Holy Spirit and from a woman, from Panagia. So when we practice vigilance, we have to be aware that there will be temptations around us. There will be temptations. It's like we're fasting. There will be temptations. But if we don't practice vigilance, if we don't care for our spiritual life, we might still go through problems, but the tempter might not even worry about us because he owns us. This is not smart to avoid temptations. This is like he wouldn't care because we won't save our souls anyway. The thing is that we need to understand that the devil exists. Sometimes we think that the problems we go through with other people has something to do with the other people or with us or with our ego. And of course, this is the case, but behind all this is the devil who tries to mess up things and who tries to create problems. And if, Yerda says, if once in our life we had a dream, we would dream the devil with his black face and his big horns or whatever the saints have seen him to look like, we would be so scared that every night we would be afraid to go to sleep and we would keep this picture in our minds forever. But we don't understand, it doesn't matter if we've seen this or not, the devil exists and the devil is tempting us. And we have to be aware of that, because sometimes we're blaming our brothers, but they are tricked from the devil. And then we attack them as well because they attacked us, and then they're in the middle, and then they're stuck, and then we make a mess. Does this make sense? All right. So one of the successful tricks that the devil has is to make us believe that he doesn't exist. And then we are loose in our ways and we don't care about anything, and then that's it. So every time, every second in our lives, it's like a battlefield. Because if we let our guard down, we might be tempted, and if we're not ready, we might find ourselves in a difficult situation. This doesn't mean that we should not be peaceful and we should not be relaxed, but this means that we should trust God in every second of our lives, and we should sort of have this in the background, like a wallpaper on a phone or on a computer, that God is there, and use it easily, have an easy access whenever we find ourselves in trouble. And what is the easiest way that the devil uses to trick us? Anyone? Yeah. Any other opinions? There is no wrong answer. It's just I have something in my mind which is in the book and I will tell you what it is. But what do you think is the worst, the strongest weapon that the devil uses to trick us?
Oh? Complacency.
Which means?
That we're okay, that things are okay.
That too. Anything else? Yes?
The ego?
Yes, of course. He triggers our ego.
Making us believe that we have all the time in the world, so procrastinate.
Procrastination, yes.
Pride?
Yes. But I'm looking for a different thing. You will see when I'm telling you what, when I will tell you. Anyone else?
The thoughts? It's playing in your head.
That's more like of what I'm looking for. Anyone else?
Despair.
Despair as well?
I was thinking something.
Yeah, all these are, he does all this to us. It's not like he doesn't. So that's, they're all correct. It's just that you will see when I will tell you what I mean. Anyone else before I?
Temptation.
Huh?
Temptation.
Yes.
How about timeless? Like if you're tired, you let your guard down.
Yeah, that's very important. If you're tired, you should never make decisions. That's another thing, because they won't be correct. If you're tired or upset, never make a decision. That's what Magyarda said. Yes, all these are correct, but what else? All right, I will tell you what Saint Isidro says. So, the way that the tempter uses to make us fall is fantasy. And what do I mean by that? So he puts a screen in our head, like a TV setup, and he says, imagine if this was to happen, how nice it would be. And it makes it very, he's like a car salesman. And we fall, because fantasy is always, it's different to hear something and it's different to watch something on the TV. It's different. It's more influential. So that's how he attacks us, with fantasies. And then if he gives us an explanation, his explanation, his thought process of what's there and what will happen and this and that, that's the development of the fantasy. And then that's it. It's very difficult for us to get. You cannot, see, you drive sometimes down a freeway or something, and there is a sign, you cannot unsee this. This is what it is. You cannot unsee this. Even fathers of the desert that they have never sinned in their lives, he would put them sexual pictures in their mind, and they could not unsee this. So you have to fight to get rid of it after. This is why fantasy is so strong. It's like you see a crime in front of you, someone killing another person. You cannot unsee this. It will be stuck in your memory forever. This is why fantasy is so strong. And we need to be aware of that. And how do we fight fantasy? With Nipsey. All right? With vigilance. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been here. All right. So if he was to just give a thought to us, we've got a question? Yeah.
It's interesting how you said fantasy, and before that you were speaking about Jesus who went in the desert, and as soon as he started fasting, what the devil hit him was his human nature, which was hunger, which was thirst, and so he tempts him with food. It's interesting to, I could never even think of the last one here, I will make you the kingdom, which is what
fantasy.
You're saying.
Yeah.
He puts these thoughts of fantasy in Jesus'
pictures.
Mind. Yeah. And it's interesting that Jesus always quotes from the scripture. Always. I can't remember the second temptation and how that could possibly be related to some of our own weaknesses that Jesus was exposed. Yeah, I'm sorry to ask you this question. I'm not sure what the second temptation was.
It was philodoxia, philargyria. Philodoxia, philargyria, and philidonia. So philodoxia, it's when someone is ambitious. Philargyria, it's the love for money, and philidonia is the love for pleasures. These were the three temptations.
Which one was the love of pleasures? I remember the bread and the kingdoms, and the second one, does anybody remember? I'm sorry, I don't have the Bible.
I think the love for pleasures was when he was hungry, and he asked him. But what was the question?
What the second temptation was,
okay,
and how it can relate to our life.
Yes. So these are the three temptations that we usually face: philargyria, philidonia, and philodoxia. Ambition, pleasures, and the love of money or possessions or power and stuff. Yes, but the attacks, they are usually through fantasy. So he draws a picture, he's a good painter, and it's very appealing, and you cannot unsee it, and then you have to deal with it. That's why we need vigilance all the time, because if our mind is in God, even if a picture comes around, it won't be that interesting. It might shake us for a moment, but then it will go away. It's easier to go away. Yeah. And do we have any other questions? Because then we start something different. I will ask you a question. First of all, do you think that temptations are according to our strength, or they can be above our strength? What do you think?